All right, Habakkuk chapter 1. Hopefully that gave you enough time to find it. Again, if you're still searching, just go to your table of contents. All right, last time we looked at verses 1 through 4. We looked at the historical cultural background, so we're not going to do that, but I'm going to read those this morning just because you kind of need that for the context. So Habakkuk starts out, says, "The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? I cry out to thee, violence, yet thou dost not save. Why dost thou make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted." Well, that's a complaint I've had a lot of times with God. God, why are the wicked doing so well? Why are there even wicked people? Why is there evil in the world? That's what we looked at last time. God answers starting in verse 5. He says, "Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horses come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like a wind and pass on. But they would be held guilty, they whose strength is their God." So God's answer is not what Habakkuk was expecting. That ever happened to you? I don't know about you, but I know I am guilty of when I pray for something, I've got the perfect picture in my brain of how God should answer that prayer. Anybody else? Okay. I am praying for something, and I know exactly how God should answer that prayer. And God does exactly what he does to Habakkuk. Not what you expected. "I am going to do something in your time that you would not believe, even if you were told. I'm going to do something different than you expect." Okay, remember, Isaiah, a very familiar verse, Isaiah 55, right? You guys know he says his thoughts, or his ways are not your ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his thoughts above your thoughts, right? He is God. He does stuff that we don't expect. So Habakkuk comes before him and says, "Why, God? Why this? Why that? Why that?" In other words, what he's asking is, "My people, Judah, are wicked. They're living in wickedness. They're living apart from you. Come and take care of them." And God says, "Oh, I'm going to take care of them, but not in the way you expect. I'm going to raise up a people more wicked than they are to take care of them. You're complaining about the wickedness, and I'm raising up a people more wicked than Judah is to come take Judah into captivity," is basically God's answer. We see a small part of that answer today. We see that he says, "Look, be astonished, wonder." Some of your translations say, "Be astounded." Be amazed. Look what he's doing. You're not going to believe it even if you were told. In other words, I'm God, I'm doing something. You're complaining about me not doing anything. I am doing something. But it's not what you expect. It's not what you expect. "Behold, I'm rising up the Chaldeans." A lot of your translations say Babylon. "I'm rising up the Babylonians." Okay, same people. The Chaldeans were just an ethnic group that were the primary folks that ruled Babylon. Okay, so the actual Hebrew is Chaldeans, but so that most people understand, a lot of your modern translations will say Babylonians there. All right? So, "For behold, I'm rising up the Chaldeans, a fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs." So he says, "I'm doing something you wouldn't believe. I'm raising up the Babylonians, and now I'm going to tell you about them a little bit." Which leads us to believe that maybe they're just coming on the scene. We don't know exactly when this is, but Assyria may still be the big power, and the Babylonians are just coming on the scene. Or it may be that they've already taken over, that they've already captured. Because the Babylonians go in and capture Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria, and that makes them the world power, and then they become the world power. And many people believe that they are the first truly world power. Okay? And why do people believe that they're the first true world power? Well, they believe that because of Daniel's vision, or Nebuchadnezzar's vision in Daniel, his dream, he saw a statue, and the head of gold was Babylon. Okay, so that's why many people think that biblically, the Babylonians were the first true world power, okay, because of Nebuchadnezzar's vision in Daniel. But and he's going to God's going to tell Habakkuk a little bit about them. Basically, he says they go and they take whatever they want. They're dreaded. They're feared. Look at verse 7. It says their justice and authority originate within themselves. Okay, so God's talking a little bit about their power and their pride. The Babylonians are full of power and they're full of pride. He talks about how swift their horses are, how fierce they are. They're fierce like eagles swooping down to devour. Okay, these are a people that should be feared because they are powerful, but they are a people whose justice and authority originate in themselves. Are they a godly people? Nope. Is God going to use them for his purposes? Yep. Something that we would not expect. Verse 9, all of them come for violence. So they're bent on violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. And you're looking at your translation saying, that is not anything like what my Bible says. Because my Bible talks about they're like the west wind or the east wind. Okay? And that's just the Hebrew there is very hard to translate for folks. So the point is that they have set their face towards something. I am going to go that way and you can't stop me. I'm going. Okay? So we are moving through. We are moving through. And just different translation committees decided to translate that differently. Okay, so their faces, they are moving forward like the east wind. They are moving forward. They're going to collect all the captives. In other words, Judah's going to go into captivity. They mock at kings. They laugh at them. They're so prideful. They see a fortress and they laugh at it because they know we can take it. They were masters of siege warfare. They would rise up siege works. They would rise up ramps and they would take it. And nothing stood before them. Verse 11, they'll sweep through like the wind and pass on. How many of us can stop the wind? Okay, you can't stop the wind. You can put up little wind breaks and try to make it less, but you cannot stop the wind. It is going to go through. And that's what God is saying. He's talking about the power and the pride of the Babylonians. Habakkuk says, why, God, are you letting evil reign in your people? And he says, I'm not. I'm doing something about it, but it's not what you expect. It's not what you expect. I'm going to rise up the Babylonians, people worse than you, and I'm going to use them. So instead of seeing wickedness go away and get punished right now, you're going to see wickedness raised up and used to chastise my people, used to discipline my people. Not what you had in mind. Not what you had in mind. Now, as we go through Habakkuk, we're not going to get there this morning. We're going to see that it all works out. Okay, but that's for another sermon. It all works out. Right now, I want to see what can we take from this little piece of scripture. What can we take from this little piece of scripture? Well, the first, you know, one of the principles of Bible study is letting the Bible interpret the Bible, right? One of the primary principles of Bible study is let the Bible interpret the Bible. And because we are fortunate to have the New Testament, one of the primary applications of this, Paul gives us in Acts, when he says, God does not work the way we expect him to. One of the primary applications of that is Acts. And I would like us to turn to Acts, please, because I think it's important that we do. Now, we don't have time to go through all of it, but we need to get this application in our lives. Acts 13, okay, and it starts later. You can go through. You can start in about verse 14. If you want to start at verse 1 of Acts 13, that's fine. But this is Paul's missionary journey, first missionary journey, and he's traveling around. And verse 14 is when he gets to Pisidian Antioch, or some of your translations say Antioch of Pisidia. Okay? So he's in Pisidian Antioch, and he goes into the synagogue like he normally does, and he starts preaching. Because why? He's going to the Jewish people, he's going to Israel, the tribe of Israel, or the nation of Israel, and he's trying to tell them that, hey, this Messiah that you have expected, because they knew Daniel's prophecies, this Messiah that you had expected, oh, by the way, it's Jesus Christ. He's already come, and you need to put your faith in it. Okay? So 14 on, he's given his sermon. I'm just going to look at the last part of it because that's all we have time of it. I want to look at starting in verse 38. So Acts 13, 38. It says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him everyone who believes is freed from all things which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Take heed, therefore, so that the things spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Behold, scoffers, and marvel and perish. For I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. So Paul quotes Habakkuk here. He quotes Habakkuk to tell the nation of Israel, don't miss this. You have been asking for the Messiah, you've been praying for the Messiah, you've been expecting the Messiah, and God sent the Messiah, but he didn't do it in the way you expected. He didn't do it in the way you expected. He sent him as a baby who had to grow up and lived a sinless life, and then instead of conquering and immediately taking the throne of David, he died for you, for your sins. He says, gave forgiveness of sins proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. So Paul quotes Habakkuk to say, God works differently than you think he is. And don't miss it. People, I hope you have not missed that here today. I hope that you have already accepted the free gift that Christ offers to you. But if you haven't, don't miss it, because God works in a way that you wouldn't expect. He worked in a way, he sent his son to die, a seeming failure. But he died in our place, because we deserve it. He died in our place so that we could be right, made right with God. Don't miss it. A way that we would never come up with. It's not a way that man would come up with to be made right with God. We would try to do it ourselves. I can do the right stuff. Just give me the checklist. I'll check it off every day and I'll be okay. No. It didn't work. They tried it with the law. Okay? He died for us. Don't miss it. God works in mysterious ways. So please, if you're here today and you've never come to faith in him, you've never accepted the free gift, don't miss it. God works in strange ways. Ways you wouldn't believe even if he told you. And there's lots of people today that have been told how God worked, and they still don't believe. Don't be one of them. Okay? Christ died for you. He died for me. And oh, by the way, fortunately, that's not the end, right? Because he rose again on the third day. And now he's at the right hand of God. And oh, by the way, he's coming back. He told us that too. Okay? He told us that too. He is coming back. All right? So let's not be where Habakkuk starts out here. God, why? Why are you not working? I pray to you day and night, and you're not doing what I want you to do. And God says, I'm doing something, and you don't believe it. You're not going to believe it, even though I'm telling you. Even though I'm telling you. Why didn't they believe it? Because wickedness seems to get away with it. Can we agree with that? Wickedness, it seems like you get away with it. Okay? Somebody goes completely against God. They're waiting for the lightning bolt. No lightning bolt. Guess I'll do that again. I feel like I'm getting away with it. You're not, people. And Habakkuk is going to get to that later. We're not going to get that today. But don't miss that he works in ways that we have a hard time fathoming. And he's told us a bunch of them. Don't miss it. Just because you can't believe it, don't miss it. Okay. We talked about Babylon's power a little bit. I want to talk about their pride, more specifically their pride, because this is another thing that we don't want to get caught in, is their pride. And two verses that really bring out their pride are the second part of verse 7 and the last part of verse 11. Second part of verse 7, their justice and authority originate with themselves. And verse 11, they whose strength is their God. Who do they worship? Themselves. Well, it's a good thing we're not dealing with that 2,600 years after Habakkuk wrote it, huh? Good thing we're not dealing with any self-worship in any of our cultures in the world today or in America. Man, don't be there. Okay? Their justice and authority originate with themselves. How many times? I've got a teenager, so I hear it a lot. I know you guys have heard a lot, too, is that may be right for you, that's just not right for me. That may be true for you, that's not true for me. That may be the way you think it is, but that's not the way it is for me. What is that? That is somebody who wants their their justice and their authority to originate with themselves. Where does that lead? That leads to horrific, horrific places. And there have been leaders throughout history that we have seen whose authority and justice originates with themselves, and they do horrendous, horrendous things. Okay? This is not a society that you really want to live in. Somebody thinks they do, as long as they're really living in a society that allows them to have a little freedom and oversees them. But as soon as you get into a society where really the person in charge gets to be the authority and the justice themselves, people don't like that much, and we don't want to be there. Okay, so we don't want to have that kind of pride. We don't want to have the pride that says our justice and our authority originates with ourselves. We don't want to have the kind of pride that says my strength is my God. I can do it myself. And in America, it's really hard because we're kind of taught from a very early age to be self-sufficient, to do it yourself. Okay? And there's some of that that's good. We shouldn't rely on everybody else all the time, but we just got to realize that doing it myself isn't really doing it myself. It's doing it by the grace of God. Okay? It's doing it by the grace of God. It's not I'm doing it myself. Okay? My strength is not my God. Okay? God is my God. So that's a little bit about their pride. Whew. Man, time goes by quickly. The last thing I want to look at a little bit, and I'm going to apologize right off the bat. Well, not really. I'm going to poke you a little bit. Okay? But that's all right, because I'm going to poke me a little bit too while I'm doing it. I want to look at what do we do, what can we learn from this passage as far as what do we do when Babylon's come into our life? When God brings Babylon's into our life. Okay? And the first question we have to ask is, why did God bring Babylon into the life of Israel? Of Judah specifically, the southern kingdom. Why does God have to raise up the wicked Babylonians to come and chastise and discipline Israel? Judah. Anybody? Because they weren't following him. They had left him. He had given them a way to live, and they had left him. Back in Deuteronomy 28, you can look at it, realize they're under the law. We're not under the law, people. They're under the law. And they are told, if you follow my statutes, the commands I give you, I am going to bless you. And they're given all this list of blessings. If you do not, I'm going to curse you. Deuteronomy 28, the last 40 verses of that chapter are all the curses that you're going to get. Okay, and one of the things he said in there is, I'm going to raise up a people to come and wipe you out, basically. Okay, so that is why they are being chastised by God. So I would say when we have a Babylon come into our life, something that we wish was not there, a trial or whatever, the first question we need to ask ourselves, is this God's discipline? And that's a hard, we don't like to think about that. Okay, is this God's discipline? Okay, there are many reasons why bad things come into our life. Okay, and that's a whole other sermon. I can't go over all of them. We're going to touch a little bit on them. But the first question we need to ask ourselves is this God's discipline? So am I living in a way that is contrary to God's word? Okay? So the first thing you need to be able to do to answer that question is kind of know God's word, right? Kind of need to know, be in God's word. And I'm not talking about, we all mess up, okay? We all do things day to day that we shouldn't do. And we ask forgiveness, and we move on. I'm talking about a persistent, willful disobedience to God. Because I got away with it. So God's obviously not too upset with me because he's letting me do it. Okay? What are some of those things? Maybe sexual immorality is probably one of the biggest ones in our culture today. People living in sexual immorality. Okay? Premarital sex, sex outside of marriage, living together before they get married, homosexuality, name it. There's all kinds of sexual immorality going on out there. That's a big one. Guys, probably more than girls, pornography. I'm looking at pornography. But nobody knows I am. I'm getting away with it. Okay? God knows you are. So if you have a Babylon in your life, ask, am I being disciplined by God? Do I have an unrepentant sin in my life? And if you do, change it. Repent and change. Okay, repent and change and move on. That doesn't mean the consequences are going to go away immediately, but repent and change. Okay, so that's one reason, and that is the specific reason why in Habakkuk they're being judged, why they have Babylon coming down on them. That may be the case in our lives, may not. What other reasons do we have Babylon's come into our life? Biblical. Biblical reasons. Anyone? How about refining our faith? Okay? God refines our faith, uses trials, uses tribulations to refine our faith. Okay? If you want to be a bodybuilder, how do you become a bodybuilder? You work out a lot. You break down your muscles so they can build back stronger. You go through difficulty to make you stronger. The same thing with our faith. What kind of faith do you have if it has never been tested, never been tried? You have the same kind of faith Adam and Eve had in the garden, which was untried innocence. But they got tried, and they failed. We're going to get tried, and we're going to fail, and we're going to grow from it. Okay, we're going to grow from it. Well, I grew up being a big snow skier, and I still love to snow ski. Okay, when I was growing up, and this applies to water skiing or anything else you want to do, when I was growing up, I would always say, wow, you're getting pretty good. Well, that's because I've fallen more than most people. Okay, if you want to be good at something, you need to fall more than most people. If you want to be good at something, you're going to fail more than most people. God is going to put trials and tribulations in our life to refine our faith, to strengthen our faith. Okay, to strengthen our faith. That's the other big reason. So discipline and refining our faith. The final reason, and we're not going to talk about much today, is we just live in a fallen world. I shouldn't say it's the final reason. Another reason, we live in a fallen world. There's sin in the world, and things are going to happen to us because of sin, ours or somebody else's, that we wish were not there. And then I would say the final biblical reason that we see in Job is, people, there's a whole spiritual realm that we don't see. That stuff could be going on. Why was Job tried? Job was tried because God was teaching Satan a lesson. Okay? Because God was teaching Satan something. And he ended up teaching Job and Job's friends something along the way as well. But that was a spiritual thing on a whole other level that we're only aware of because the Bible tells us that that's going on. Okay? So those are reasons. So my question is, when Babylon's come into our lives, what is our response going to be? What is our response going to be? Are we going to be like Habakkuk starts off, asking why? Or are we going to be like Habakkuk ends, that we're going to get to in a couple messages, I don't know, 6-8 months, I don't know, I preach every 6 months or so, who knows when we're going to get there. But we'll get there eventually. Where Habakkuk ends up is, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to let God be God. Yes. And he calls me to live by faith. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to acknowledge that God works in different ways than I would, because he knows way more than I know, and he can do it way better than I can. So when things are in my life, Babylon's are in my life that I wish were not there, I'm going to say, okay, God, you got it. And I may not be able to do anything other than say, when somebody asks you how you're doing, to say, Lord, or say, I am doing well because God is good. But let me take some time, hopefully, if that person's really interested in how you're doing, let me take some time to tell you what's going on in my life. And the only reason I'm doing well is because God is good. Because I got a lot of stuff going on that I don't like. Maybe that's where we are. That's where we need to be. I wrote down here, we got to love God, we got to love our neighbor, we got to obey his word and trust him to work as he sees fit. Trust him to work as he sees fit. And as we're doing that, look for opportunities to glorify him through the trial. Look for opportunities to bring glory to our Lord through whatever he's got us going through. But I just want to leave with, Babylon's come in our lives, live by faith, but don't worry. Where we didn't get to in Habakkuk and where we're going to get to is, don't think that the evil gets away with it. Okay? God has already told us that vengeance is his, right? Okay, vengeance is his. Deuteronomy 32:35. And then if you go all the way to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, towards the end, specifically verses 11 through 15, you will see that everybody who does not know him is going to be judged by their deeds. So although they think they're getting away with it, they're not. They're not. And we've got to let God's vengeance be God's vengeance and not our vengeance. And we'll get there later on. We'll get there later on. So please, asking why is fine. It's natural. Why God? Why God? Why God? But we've just got to realize that He works in ways that are not our ways. He works, He does things that we think are, wow, I would never do it that way. And we've got to trust Him, knowing that He's good, that He loves us, and that He has provided a way for us to have eternal life with Him through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just pray to You, and I just pray that You help us, Lord. You tell us that Your Holy Spirit gives us the power to realize these things, that spiritual things are spiritually discerned, Lord. I pray that as we read Your Word, as we fellowship with other believers, as we obey You, as we love our neighbor, Lord, I pray that You would transform our minds and our hearts to be in conformity with You. You would change our perspective so that we can say, I am well because God is good, and mean it. Lord, help us to be parts of the body that help each other. Give us eyes to see those who need our help in You. Give us power through the Holy Spirit to accomplish Your will. Lord, bind us together and help us to function as the body that You created us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.